Good morning, church. I am Dave DeBruin's substitute, so I will be reading scripture today, and it looks like Proverbs 24 is where we will start. You know, I was listening to the song we were just singing, and it was talking about your testimony, and I've been reflecting a lot on that lately, and how every word we say and every action we do is a testimony. And I was at, again, a work story at work, and it just takes that one conversation to strike up at work. And I always still pray before dinner, thanking the Lord for the food and every other thing that I have in this world. And she, it struck up a conversation, and I just think of testimony as something as simple as a prayer. And people will then question what you're praying about, or, you know, if she's said, could you pray for me, and we, my family's been praying, and I wanted to let her know. It was a reminder. I said, by the way, my family's still praying for you, for your struggle, and it got into a beautiful conversation about faith and strengthening your relationship, because she was saying she didn't believe in a church as a whole and organized religion, and it was just interesting, because I didn't have a lot to say, because another study that Bruce and I are in, it's talking about, kind of with your testimony, it's a book called Let the Bird Fly, and basically it's apologetics. And what I've been learning on the first we only met once so far on this, and what I learned was to kind of be silent, basically, to listen to people and understand where they're coming from, because a lot of times I think as Christians we're, hey, I got the answer to it, and you know, it's this faith that they don't have, because the Holy Spirit didn't call them to a relationship with Christ yet. So again, testimony, and I just encourage everybody to be cognizant of your testimony. Proverbs 24, 11 through 12. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? Then we're going to go to Proverbs 31, verse 8. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. And then we will finish with Matthew 25, verse 34 through 36. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. This ends the scripture.
Like to invite the kids to come down. I'll put it over there instead. That's good. Oh, my brave volunteers. You see how nice these kids are? They're volunteering to help you understand. Well, the first one's pretty easy. A certain person was walking around, and somebody really mean came and beat on her, and she was knocked to the ground. I didn't want you guys to get dirty. So, and along came the first person, looked down and said, "Bleh," and she ran away. Along came the second person. He looked down, walked way on the outside, and he ran away. And we left her lay there. Is that how the story's supposed to end? How's the story supposed to end? Yeah, well, give me your hand. I want you back up. Come on back, volunteers. You're not done at all. The worst is yet to come. There was a certain young lady, and she was standing right there. And one of the people standing on this side of her, said this: if you vote for me, this is what I will do. I'll beat her on the head, knock her down, and kick her after she's down. And then he turned and he said, I want you to vote for me. Back up, you're well. Another person came along and said, that's no good. I'll tell you what I will do. I will put my arm around her. I will help her. And we'll walk together through whatever problem she's having. Vote for me. And she stepped back. Now I'm going to teach you a word today. It's a big word. You know, I like to keep teaching you words. This word is called accomplice. An accomplice is someone who helps somebody else do something bad. Okay? An accomplice is someone who helps somebody else do something bad. Well, in my little story right now, you're going to get to vote. Okay? What would have happened to the girl if the only two people that saw her walked right by and just left her lay? She probably could have died there. They were accomplices. They didn't hurt her, but they didn't help her either. Here's the second lesson. Now you get to vote. All right, I want you to clap and shout when I hold my hand over their head. I'll hold my hand over his head. Then I'll hold my hand over her head. And I want you to clap and shout for whoever you want to win in our little illustration. Ready? Him, okay. Yeah. Later on, I want you to beat him up, knock him down. All right. Ready? Vote. Good. What you learned is how simple it really is. Now, I want you to understand, there are some people out there that actually want to kill, hurt, and kill babies, whether they're girls or boys. And there are some people out there that will not let that happen. They will fight to protect the people that are hurt. You learned a very important lesson. Did you want to help him be mean to her? Good. It's not hard, is it? Because if you help him be mean to her, you're an accomplice. You're helping him do evil to somebody else. Can you remember that? All right, well, that's the whole sermon. So if nobody's listening out there, just elbow them and say, Mom, we don't want to be an accomplice, or Dad, we don't want. And what does accomplice mean? Someone who's helping someone do something bad. You got it. All right. You guys get to pick first. Can I let them pick first because they helped us? All right. Okay. All right. Ladies first, right? Okay. Ladies first, you get to pick a treat. There you go. And you get to pick one. Come get it. There you go. Ladies first. Thank you. Don't take too long. No. Just grab one. Just grab one today. Good job. Grab one. Yeah, I know it gets hard. 5, 4, 3, 2. Take one. Just one, attaboy. We all work better under pressure, don't we? Forty-six years ago, give or take, January 22nd, 1973, they passed a law. A group of men, apparently filled with the heart of Satan, knowing what they were doing, and said it's okay to kill children. And it's still with us. Sounds like a long time, 46 years. It took a lot longer to deal with slavery, which was just another form of destroying and stealing people's freedom or killing or using them any way you see fit. They still estimate somewhere between 50 to 60 million people are killed across the world. There is an estimate of every third baby is killed yet. Three girls get pregnant, one kills their baby. There's approximately 4,000 babies killed a day. That's 170 an hour. And Planned Parenthood alone kills one baby every 95 seconds. Planned Parenthood doctor said this: abortion is a treatment for unwanted pregnancy, the second sexually transmitted disease. Interesting to call a child a sexually transmitted disease. 43% of the women in America, they say, have had an abortion. 47% of the abortions that we have now are repeats. In China, they kill their children whether they let them want to or not. And it's so painful that they actually have temples built over there where you can go buy a little Buddha. And for $100 or $500 or whatever the price is, they'll set the Buddha up in the temple. And for another $150, they'll pray, hoping that it will appease your conscience for what's happened to your baby. Suicide rate among girls who have abortions is up between 400 to 800%. People like to pretend they don't understand when life begins. There is no doubt. Any doctor worth anything knows. When we were down on the line this year, remember I told you, I said, guy walked behind us and he whispered at us, it wasn't one of our crowd, but we know we're killing children, so what? How cold, dead, lifeless do you have to be to talk like that? We know we're killing children, so what? Well, you try and turn it back on them and say, good, then you're next. And they obviously wouldn't like that very much, but you find out arguing with them is a little bit useless in so many ways. If you don't understand, we are in a demonic warfare in this country, in what is identified as the Second Civil War, you're not paying attention. Why do they hate you so much? Why would you hate a girl who said, I want to love on this person, I want to go alongside of her, help her with whatever she needs? How come you would hate her and love this guy because he said, I will kill it, I'll destroy it, I'll knock it down to nothing? Why would you applaud that? Do you think that is within the parameters of normal mindset? Can't you hear the perversion? Can't you hear the demonic source and root of that very thought? That's part of the dilemma. If the church doesn't understand that the voting that takes place is as clear as that right now, it is really that simple. We'll kill them. We'll do everything we can to make sure they can be killed, not only in our country, but we'll pay people around the world to kill them, and. And on the other side, wait a minute. Someone with integrity said, I'll come alongside. We'll work with them. We'll help them. But you look at a country and it can't figure out which one it wants to be. And that you have brothers and sisters, moms or dads, aunts and uncles in apostate churches who can't figure out how to help you with that. You understand, we're coming up. In Milwaukee, they're going to have that Democratic convention where they will establish what's called the platform. The platform is where they stand. The stage. This is what we stand for. This is what we stand on. And I'm going to tell you, it is going to be as clear as a children's sermon. And here's the part that I finally want to address for you and I today. There's this passage that you were reading that says this. Rescue those being led away to slaughter. This is Proverbs 24. Led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, then go to hell. Really? Do you think God minces words and that this isn't life and death to him? I remember the first time someone took me aside and he said, do you believe abortion's murder? I said, well, yeah. He said, why don't you act like it? You want me to bring one of the girls up and we'll actually start stabbing, cutting on them and see how long it takes for you to respond? Let's reach down and we'll tear off one of their heads. And we'll see if you're smart enough to figure out, are you going to help them by destroying me or are you going to vote me back into office? That's really as black and white, godly and demonic as really it is becoming in so many ways. And I do not care. I don't want to pretend that either men or women or anybody else are going to be perfect and we struggle with voting and everything else. But you are an accomplice. And as an accomplice, you are just as guilty. And most of the time, I'm not sure whether in the Good Samaritan scenario you saw, whether the girl or the guy actually went to God and said, gee, I'm sorry, Lord, for failing to do what I could have done. I thought about, because I had high school kids to use a little bit, that I could have used the example of bullying. You know, they probably seen people get bullied. And I go, well, it's none of my business. I don't want to get an inner fear. What do you really expect me to do? Well, the answer is if you can't get in the middle of it yourself, dial 911. If you're at school, you grab a teacher. If it's somewhere else, you do whatever you can do. God never holds you accountable for what you cannot do. He holds you for what you could have done, what you could have been, how you could have responded. And so now, here's our challenge. We don't just get to say, oh, well, the government said it's okay. I guess we have to live with it. And we whisper back to you, this is a democracy where every one of us shares the responsibility for the crummy or good governance that we have in our lives. We share with those people we either put into office by voting. Are we allowed to go into office because we're too stubborn or too stupid to vote well? And I go, here's the words again. I didn't write them, God did. If you say that we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Do you think God gets that? You think he doesn't understand what was going on in the Samaritan situation? What was going on in the heart of the two people that walked past? Oh, God, you just don't really understand. And I go, yeah, he's too stupid to perceive what goes on in my heart. I know every fear. I know everything from people getting in your face to the fear of being hit to the fear of wondering, am I in the right place at the right time? You understand? There is a challenge in our world around you and me that manifests itself not only in that single place, but all over the place. There is this entire platform, and watch it as it's formed up. Compare it to Romans chapter 1. Watch which side supports, encourages, and puts in favor those things that Romans chapter 1 reveals is against the will of God. Sexual immorality, homosexuality, all the other things connected with it, the love of sin, and everything else that you can possibly imagine. And then I ask, are you the walking by? Are you the one who shouts, I will vote for you? Because that's part of the challenge we're in the middle of. God's point, obviously, is very important. He says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. vulnerable. If we really were watching some guy beat up a girl up here, I'd go, how long would it take for you to step in? Well, because you don't see it, doesn't happen. Remember, I've told you, when the group went down and they rescued, or not rescued, they dug out of the dumpsters almost 1,100 dead babies from the Chicago dumpsters, from the abortion mills in Chicago. They asked me to be on TV with that, and I held little babies in my hand, some no bigger than my hand, some almost about, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months along. Faces torn half off, arms ripped off, skin burned, discolored, eyes missing, parts of their body missing. I held them in my hand and I said, gee, is there any question of what abortion is or isn't? Maybe it's okay if I vote for this guy, because he was a nice-looking guy. Looked pretty creative and, probably could do a good talk for me and a lot of good stuff. I think I'll vote for him anyway. Like somehow there are other things, and I go, really? If your name is up there next and I put you in the middle of those two people, who do you want us to vote for? Who do you want us to vote for? God's looking at you and me and he goes, listen, I'm trying to tell you, you don't get to say, I didn't know. I didn't know won't fly. And you begin to recognize God's telling this, and then he goes on, he says this, we didn't know about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? Brian shared that little idea of testimony, very appropriate, very good. I'm going to give you another one. Your testimony is how you live out the things you claim to do and be. What's your testimony? If God tests it, where are you coming from? What are you saying? You begin to recognize God is holding me accountable for a whole lot more than the little things I want to think about. And I begin to go, you mean, God, you actually care who I vote for? Oh, no, Bruce, you just go ahead. I'm not upset at all. Kill some more babies. Walk around believing and convincing some young people it's okay. That babies really don't die. And their heart isn't beating within the first month. No. That's, 8 weeks or whatever it is. And there's really no brain waves there. No. They feel nothing. Even though everything scientific says just the opposite. And so you begin to recognize God is calling his church to faithfulness. There is this ability for Satan to sneak his way in. And who would have ever dreamed in 1973 when cars were still big and gas was 57 cents a gallon? Less than that, thank you, I forget. I didn't know how far back I had to go. That we'd be here. How'd we get here? How'd we get here where the church walks around almost shocked? My goodness, they hate us. They think we're idiots. Why do they think you're idiots? Because you believe children are a lie. Because you stand for and against certain things. And I go, we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. But we need a generation and generation and generation of people who learn to recognize and say, I will not move. I will stand with God in these circumstances because I know in whom I trust. Do you think the Good Samaritan didn't think about the fact that the robbers and thieves or whatever it was couldn't still be there? You think he didn't think like the first two people that walked by? You think he didn't have to overcome those fears? You think he didn't have to consider if I throw him on my donkey and I take him to an inn and I may have to pay for the medical attention? You think he did not understand that? You really think voting is any more complicated? That if I can take a group of 2, 5, 6, 8-year-old, whatever the kids are, and they can figure out who to vote for, you can't? And that you're going to walk around going, gee, God, I just couldn't figure it out. It was way too complicated for me. Bring me your 5-year-old son, daughter, nephew, niece. They'll tell you the answer. It's not complicated, but it takes courage. It takes boldness. It takes commitment. And that's his point. I will reward you for what you've done, not for what you say you should have done or could have done. That sounds really strange at first. But I want you to understand, God makes very clear in his word that you are held accountable for what you do. When Jesus Christ saves me by the work of the Holy Spirit, I become a new creature. That's all God's work. I live day by day, and I continue to grow in my faith and trust as he works that in my life. When you see that working in my life, you will see me help somebody up who's been knocked down. You will see me pat the right person on the back when I vote. You will see me encourage and do the things like Christ would do. That's living out the actions because I've become a new creature and I've become a new man, a new person in Christ Jesus. And that's part of his point. He's not trying to get you to misunderstand the gospel. He says, I'll reward you for what you do. Well, what do you mean? Put it on the line. Stand up. Tell the teacher about the bully. Call 911. Do the things that are necessary. Stand your ground. Don't let them bully you. Figure out who you are as a man or woman of God. I will remember that. I promise I'll reward you for that. I will stand and say, here is the man, here is the woman that stood her ground and did not back down. Called murder, murder. Sin, sin. And refused to walk that path of their own. So you begin to understand. Here's God as he ultimately tries to guide us through that. Matthew 25 then, if you look at the last little verse that we come out of the gospel, it says this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And they will say, when did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison? When you did it to the least of these, one of the little ones, you've done it to me. This is not a joke to God. This is deadly serious. Because the other side, the part I didn't read, is the group of people where Jesus looks at them and says, I have no idea who you are. When I was hungry, you never fed me. When I was naked, you never clothed me. When I was thirsty, you wouldn't give me even a drink of water. What do you mean? I don't understand. I don't get this. 3-year-olds have got it figured out. It's not hard, but it is difficult. The challenge in front of us is to stand where God is calling us to stand, to fight where God is calling us to fight. And as we manifest that, we're demonstrating the fact that God is in my life, making me a new creature, doing those things for me that I needed to have done. God has a will and a desire, and he still calls his church to holiness. Years ago, when I started to get into the life thing, I go, God has given abortion to America to call them out of their blindness, stupidity, and evil. How evil is this country? We're willing to kill this girl. Oh, she's grown up, so we have to wait till we shrink her down a little. We'll tear her limb from limb. But that's the point. The children are dying to save you and me. Can you learn to stand? Can you learn to be counted? Can you put up with the pressure? Because that's God's challenge and invitation. Pray with me if you would. Lord, when you rescued me from my stupidity and selfishness and all the other sins I commit and get caught up in, I never fully comprehended how difficult it is to stand with you. I thank you, Lord, that I'm saved by grace. But I also thank you, Lord, that you do not mince words with me and that you talk directly to my heart. And you will not let me make excuses, but you will call me to faithfulness. When I see you hungry, Lord, help me feed you. When I see you thirsty, Lord, help me give you something to drink. And when I see you naked, Lord, help me to clothe you. Lord, wake your church up with the fire that burns in their bellies, with a heart that will not compromise, with a willingness to stand with you in every circumstance. Bring it forth in each of our lives and give us the courage so that we do the difficult things in front of us, so that we become and reflect your love, your justice, your mercy, and commitment to this whole world. I pray this all in your name, Lord. God's people say, amen.